Welcome to this ICMA Sustainable Communities podcast. ICMA is the premier local government leadership and management organization. The ICMA Sustainable Communities Initiative strengthens local government's capacity to meet their sustainability goals. For more information, visit icma.org.
Hi, I'm Anna Reed with ICMA Center for Sustainable Communities, and today we're talking to Jennifer Rung. Jennifer is a research scientist at the Houston Advanced Research Center. Thank you for joining us today, Jennifer.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
So we wanted to talk to you a little bit about Houston's work as a Solar America city. Could you start by telling us a little bit about what Houston was doing in the way of energy efficiency and renewable energy that led the city to apply to be a Solar America city?
Well, there was a lot of influence from that mayor at the time on renewable energy and energy efficiency. He had worked for the Department of Energy actually before becoming Houston's mayor. So they did things like they had a partnership with CenterPoint Energy to do some low-income neighborhood weatherization for low-income homes. He also pioneered a renewable wind project where one-third of the electricity purchased by the city of Houston was from renewable sources, mostly wind. There were other programs, such as they teamed with the Clinton Climate Initiative to do an energy services contracting for over 200 city buildings to try to increase the efficiency of their own buildings. They began upgrading the city building codes. They started their Green Building Resource Center to give information to community members who wanted to do more green projects in their own homes. They started updating all of their traffic lights so that they'd be LED-operated traffic lights. They also were installing solar-powered parking meters all over the city. So there was a lot of energy around really trying to become not just the energy capital of the U.S., but the clean energy capital.
And Houston was designated as a Solar America city in 2008?
Yes.
Okay. And a major part of Houston's Solar America Cities initiative was a plan, the Houston Solar Initiative?
Yes. We really wanted to take a look at different, you know, talk to different stakeholders in the community, both residents and installers and universities and different departments within the community, and talk about what did they see were the barriers to solar. I mean, we can all kind of guess what we think some of them might be, but we really thought that the stakeholder process to get buy-in from everybody around the table would be important. And then the bulk of our energy after that was trying to figure out what can we do to address those barriers that we identified. So some of the things that we came up with was, you know, the stakeholder process, writing the plan, but also doing some high visibility demonstration projects. Houston's a little strange in that we don't have any zoning laws. So one of the things that, you know, we felt was really a big barrier wasn't things like zoning, but was instead just getting people over that mental hurdle that, yes, it can work and we can see it in our community. And so we wanted to do some demonstration projects to show that.
Can you talk a little bit more about the zoning issue? I know this is one of the key focus areas of the Solar America community's outreach, and how that's been perceived as either sort of a barrier to solar or as facilitating solar development within the city.
The zoning issue is really kind of interesting because without zoning, we do have this sort of series of covenants and deed restrictions that can happen in the community. And we had heard a lot of anecdotal evidence about those being a barrier to solar installation. And you know, this goes back to what I was saying about how you really have to talk to people to see what's really going on. We talked to Sandia and asked if they, as our Tiger team lead, could do some research for us into those restrictive covenants so that we could figure out really where there were problems and how can we address them. And we looked, and we looked, and we looked, and we looked, and Sandia looked, and the city looked, and I looked, and even though we heard all of these stories of, well, I know somebody who knew somebody who once had a problem, we couldn't come up with any actual examples in the city of Houston of having that be a barrier to installation. And so I think we've been lucky that there are many land use problems with having no zoning, but getting solar installed isn't one of them. And it also made us really realize how important it is to make sure that what you know is something that's true when you're going into this process. Don't make assumptions, ask and look around and really dig for the right answers.
Okay. I think that's a really great point. Can you talk a little bit more about what some of the barriers that you faced in Houston have been in getting solar installed?
As I said, one of the more obvious ones with just getting people in the community to understand that this is a viable technology that will work and is available. There are a lot of sort of code issues. If you look at all of the cities or states that are really doing a lot with solar right now, they have some sort of an incentive program that goes beyond just the federal tax credit, and we don't have that opportunity in Houston. We also don't have strong net metering in Texas. Instead of, in most places, net metering is understood to mean that you get reimbursed for the retail rate for all excess electricity generated. In Texas, we have a net metering law that says that you get to negotiate with your provider, and they only have to pay you the avoided cost or something that's closer to a wholesale rate. So it makes the financing of these kinds of projects more challenging. And up until this past year, there also wasn't a whole lot of clarity on who even could own a PV system if you wanted to do some kind of third-party financing. And this last legislative session finally clarified that somebody can be a third-party owner of a small PV system, and that doesn't suddenly make them an electricity generator that's regulated by the PUC. So that's been really helpful. So that was one of the barriers that we had to overcome that is looking better.
I know that both Austin and San Antonio are also solar American cities, and that they both have municipal utilities, which is gives them something different within the sort of state level policy regulations. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, in San Antonio and Austin, they have a little bit more flexibility because they have municipally owned utilities. They don't have a competitive utility market, so they can work closely with their one utility that services their area to come up with various incentive schemes and things like that the city of Houston didn't have access to. We have a deregulated market, which means there is a regulated utility that owns the transmission and distribution system, but then there's a competitive market for retail electric providers. I mean, people sometimes ask me, so how much does electricity cost in Houston? And I said, well, there's probably 20 different retail electric providers, and each of them has several different plans. So how much would you like electricity to cost in Houston? You can get just about any answer. So instead of us being able to offer incentives, it's really been up to us to beg the various utilities that are in our community and talk to them and see what kind of options there might be for them to help us out. And that's a very slow, long process, particularly in a place that's competitive. They're worried about getting the lowest prices possible to their consumers, and that makes sense. That's how you get your consumers. But then how do you work in doing some sort of incentive program for something like solar into a system like that? It's been challenging, but it's not impossible. Green Mountain Energy is now offering true net metering and has a, you know, you can do a power purchase agreement with them where they'll lease the solar to you. And there are other utilities that are talking about it. So we're not moving along as quickly as some of the other cities, but I think there's some really good things that are happening in Houston.
Do you want to talk a little bit more about some of those things that are happening and some of the successes the program has had?
Sure. Some of the other things that we've done, I talked about the need for demonstration programs. So we did things like there's a 100-kilowatt installation with two different technologies on the roof of the George R. Brown Convention Center, which is a huge convention center downtown. Half of the installation you can see driving down the highway next to it. We made it very highly visible, and there's kiosks inside to talk about what they do. There are other sorts of installations around the city, on the City Hall Annex, on the Code and Permitting Building in Discovery Green Park, so that this becomes something that people are accustomed to. The city's tried to support the National Solar Tour in Houston and be part of that. The Green Building Resource Center has really been a tremendous opportunity for outreach. It started out as a very small thing that the city funded essentially one person and said, okay, Steve, go talk to the community about doing green things, and if they have questions, you're the person they're going to talk to and you have the answers. And he went from just being that person to building this huge room that has displays that were all donated. It didn't really cost the city any money, on energy efficiency and lowering water usage and solar. He's given a couple of presentations to the community on how do you do solar in Houston, you know, what do you need to do to go through the permitting process, what are some of the energy efficiency things you should think about first, and really being there to answer questions for the community. And they've always been tremendously well attended, so that's been a really wonderful thing that we've been able to do. One of the exciting new programs that we're in the middle of implementing right now is a solar generator project. Houston, after Hurricane Ike, realized that one of the needs that they had was a way to better get electricity to their citizens in the event of an extended power outage, especially for people who needed to recharge things like oxygen nebulizers or wheelchair batteries. That it was a problem. So we received some grant funding to get these solar powered generators, and we're using an innovative product that was designed by some people at the University of Houston called Solar-Powered Adaptive Containers for Everyone, or SPACE Units, which is just a great acronym when you're in Houston. And they're repurposed shipping containers that will actually have heating and air conditioning, so if the weather's still horrible, you can still go inside, plug in your device. Some of them will have some small refrigerators, so that if there are people that need to refrigerate medicine in the community, there's a place that they can do that. But what's great is these buildings can also be used for storage space. We're putting two at Houston schools so that they can be used for educational space. There are, you know, they'll be mobile, so we can take them to events and festivals and use them as cooling stations or first aid stations, so that it will just be a really sort of, you know, dramatic, high visibility, well utilized thing, as opposed to your normal generator that will sit in a warehouse until you need it in the event of an emergency every 7 years.
That sounds like some really great successes coming out of the program there. Where do you sort of see solar in Houston going forward?
Well, I think there's a lot of exciting opportunities there right now. With the new legislation that clarified us being able to have power purchase agreements, there are lots of new companies that are trying to have these third-party financing options in our city. So I think that will be pretty exciting. We're trying to talk to San Antonio and Austin a little bit about how we can harmonize some of our permitting processes and procedures so that it becomes easier for our installers to have it be more predictable, because as the price of solar panels themselves are falling, the soft costs are still pretty high, all of those other things. And whatever we can do to make things easier, more predictable, and faster for installers, we think will just be better for prices and for our residents. So we're starting those conversations right now. We're going to try to, you know, continue to do demonstration projects, continue to really use the Green Building Resource Center as a resource, and just keep preaching. And sooner or later, we think it'll work.
And then just sort of in the way of advice that you would have to offer to other communities that are looking to start solar initiatives, what would be sort of the key lessons learned or the takeaways you would have for those communities?
I think the biggest one would be don't give up. I mean, the challenges can seem really overwhelming sometimes. It's really easy to look around and say, oh my gosh, if only I had whatever it is that some other community has, well, then I could do it and then it would be fine. Or only if I had these people, or only if I had these incentives. But I think that there are a lot of opportunities. So focus on talking to your stakeholders, find out what their needs really are, and try to see, you know, fix what you can, figure out what you can address. If nothing else, there's always things that you can do in codes or permitting, or do what you can to help the process and raise awareness and really be an advocate. And if you can keep that energy, things will get better.
Great. Well, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us today. And this is all a lot of really great information.
Well, thanks for talking to me. This has been really exciting.
This has been an ICMA Sustainable Communities podcast. For more information about ICMA's Sustainable Communities Initiative, visit icma.org.